This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the All-Star Game is Tuesday tonight. It is the Home Run Derby in Seattle as Major League Baseball has reached the halfway point. If you were to take a temperature of the sport right now, it would be in good shape. It would be healthy. It seems to be the things that they wanted to come out of this season with the new rule changes seem to be working. That's not to say they won't tweak it up here or there, but the pitch clock seems to be shortening games is what they want. They've seemed to get more stolen bases. It's with the larger bases. It's what they want. We were talking about Ella De La Cruz, a better exciting young player. And when you look at the standings, there are some different teams to talk about, different teams to contend with. I will tell you, there's one baseball team. Well, there's a couple, but there's one baseball team in particular that I'm really impressed with this season, and that's the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles were a team last year that was coming on strong, but you know, people were kind of wondering, all right, you know, the Orioles turn the corner. This is a really tough division, right? The Red Sox entering the break on a five-game win streak. They're in last place. The Yankees are still the Yankees. When they get Aaron Judge back, they're still a formidable lineup. Toronto's got some really good young players. Of course, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is going to be in the Home Run Derby tonight. But the Orioles are right with the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, if you remember, the Rays went on a huge win streak at the start of the season, and they were setting numbers. But we know Major League Baseball kind of reverts back to some normalcy. You know, you're not going to go 132-30, right? You're going to lose about 50 games, and the Rays are 58-35. So you're going to lose 50 to 55 games. Every team is going to do that at least. And the Rays found a rough spot. They won Sunday, snapped a 7-game losing skid. But the Orioles have been with them every step of the way. Now they're 2 games back in that division. You know, you look and you see Cleveland, that was a playoff team last year. They're leading the Minnesota Twins. The Texas Rangers have a very good team, but the world champion Astros are right behind them. Yeah, the Mariners are a little disappointing. The Angels are disappointing. But then you go and look at teams that are really disappointing, and that's the Mets, who are six games below 500, and you've got San Diego that is 4 games below 500. These were teams that have a combined payroll of $770 million. They have not lived up to any expectation. They are going to possibly be buyers at the trade deadline. Who knows? Who knows? But the Mets are 18.5 games behind the Atlanta Braves in the division. 18.5. That was a team that they were supposed to be kind of following through against the Braves. Kind of, you know, if not leading the Braves, but at least in a battle for the Braves, with the Braves for the division. And that's now likely not to happen. That is nearly a month of baseball that they are behind. Atlanta is going to have to go on a losing skid on a historic level for the Mets to get back into this in the month of September. Now, the Mets can chip away, but the problem is chipping away is not going to get you back into an 18.5 point game deficit. Now, it doesn't mean they can't get themselves at least moving in the wild card direction. But the problem with that is that you've got some pretty good teams over in the West, and San Francisco is decent. Arizona's been kicking around still. They're right tied with the Dodgers for first place. So and the Mets are still behind both the Miami Marlins and the Philadelphia Phillies. So that's been disappointing. But the Cincinnati Reds, I think, are one of the better story of Major League Baseball. For a team that has been near the bottom, had gotten rid of some players, still kind of kept Joey Votto around, but decided, you know what, you build your farm system for a reason. You build it for moments like this where you bring up young talent and let them shine. They have done so. Now, last week we talked to Bob Nightingale at USA Today, and we all kind of thought, all right, look, Cincinnati's been a fun story. They've been battling Milwaukee for the top spot in the division. Do they have staying power? But one of the things that he pointed out with is that, yeah, sometimes you see these teams where they get really good and the pitching and the hitting all seem to come together and they make good runs, but it's still a long season. And Pittsburgh. Eventually, yeah, Pittsburgh is a perfect example. They were in first place at one point. Now they're, you know, in fourth, 8.5 games back.
Right.
But one of the things he said was it doesn't mean Cincinnati's fun and all of that, but the division is not that good. And so, yeah, they could still win the division because the division is not that good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically, you know, and there's some truth to that. Whereas in like the AL East, you know, the Yankees may finish fourth in the division. And they may have a winning record, still finish fourth. Who knows? Because how good the teams above them are. But I'm looking forward to the All-Star game. I always look forward to the break. I think it's a fun event, and I like Home Run Derby. But I'm looking forward to at least seeing how the second half kind of filters its way through. When we get to August and September and teams are really showing you, okay, the marathon is starting to wear on me. I'm at mile 16 now, and I still got a ways to go, but I'm getting a little tired. We'll see where that how that plays out. So I forget now, the Home Run Derby tonight is eight players round robin, right? Is that
no.
how it works?
No, single no, it's elimination. Eight, it's a bracket play.
Bracket play, that's right. That's right.
So you have... You have, let's see, I don't even know how they determine the seeds.
I think they determine the seeds by how many home runs you have.
Right now?
Yeah.
So, because the number one overall seed is Luis Robert Jr.
Okay, so.
For the White Sox.
Let me check the statistics to see if Luis Robert Jr. is leading in home runs or is somewhere near home runs. No, because Pete Alonso has 26. And no, he's tied with Luis Robert. But Mookie Betts is in the Home Run Derby, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's got 26, too. Is Matt Olson in the Home Run Derby?
Matt Olson is not.
And neither is Shohei Ohtani, obviously.
Right. But Mookie Betts is ranked third.
All right. So
he's the three seed.
Oh, I got you. Okay. I guess it's whoever got to that number first.
Okay. So, yeah. So Robert Jr. is number one. Pete Alonso is number two. Betts
and Mookie
is three.
They all have 26 home runs on the season.
Yeah.
All right. I got you. I got you. And then you've got... let's see.
Is
Adolis Garcia?
Adolis Garcia is in it.
And
and he's going up against Randy Arozarena.
Randy Arozarena.
Yeah.
How many home runs does he have? I'm looking down the list here. He's got to go all the way down to 29th, and he's got 16. That's not bad, but
yeah.
All right, who else is in this thing?
You said Mookie Betts. Luis Robert Jr. is going up against Adley Hutschman?
Yeah.
Rutschman? Okay. Rutschman? I don't know how to say his last name. All I know is I saw a great video of Adley Rutschman when he took to the field the first time in an Orioles uniform as the catcher. And he went over and he shook the umpire's hand. And then he stood at home plate and had his mask off and just did like a slow 360 looking at the stands and everything.
Oh, very cool.
Like you could totally tell, like right then and there, he is soaking this moment in. And it was like, yeah, that's awesome.
So good for him for signing up for the All-Star.
So he's going up against Luis Robert Jr. Then Pete Alonso is taking on Julio Rodriguez.
Hometown favorite. Need a
hometown guy in this thing.
All the time.
And like we said earlier, Garcia is going up against our please help.
Arozarena.
Thank you.
Arozarena.
I think the matchup I'm most excited for is the 3-6 matchup, Tony. And that's Mookie Betts versus Vlad Guerrero Jr.
I'm looking forward to that one. Yeah.
I guess. That's pretty good. I don't know if the top seeds will win to advance to the semifinals, but it is. It's just bracket play. I think it's what. Was it 5 minutes per round?
Yeah. And then you just
get if you hit balls over 450 feet, you get bonus time.
Is Chris Berman still doing this?
He didn't do it last year.
Good.
I think he's done.
Good. Yeah, isn't he retired?
I think so. I think he just pops in every once in a while when ESPN's like, oh, we got rid of everyone. Can you come in and fill in?
You gotta have an announcer the Home Run Derby. You gotta have a broadcaster that doesn't lose his mind when they hit a home run. That's the purpose of the event.
Yeah.
Is to hit a home run. So you can't just be screaming that somebody hit a home run. You have to go, all right, and there's another one to leap center field. That's number four. And just leave it at that. You don't have to pretend like it's the best thing you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yeah.
Is there a...
Carl Ravitch will be the voice of the Home Run Derby.
He is a very solid... A baseball guy. He's a solid baseball guy.
Let's keep it simple.
Pete Alonso last year was the two-time defending champion. Lost to Juan Soto. But now, where was the All-Star game last year? Was it in San Diego?
No. It was in L.A.
Where was it? L.A., that's right. It was the L.A. Dodgers, that's right. So you think Julio Rodriguez... I don't even think Juan Soto was on the Padres last year anyway. So I think he was still with Washington when he won it.
Yeah.
So Julio Rodriguez is the hometown favorite.
Well, when I looked at the, somebody put together the rankings.
Right.
Right. They have Pete Alonso as the number one.
He seems to enjoy the event enough to give it his all.
I mean, and even his hype video when he announced it is like, it was almost like, you're damn right I'm going to be there.
Sure.
So, I mean, he enjoys it. The Mets aren't going anywhere, right? That's what they say.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere. Might as well win a home run derby since you're not going to the playoffs.
We're only halfway through the season. It's going to be the bright spot for the Mets this year.
Yeah, yeah.
The number two seed.
Maybe raise a banner at Citi Field next year when he does.
The number two seed they have down is Vlad Guerrero Jr.
I can see that.
Who is also, hasn't he won it too?
I think he has. I'm not sure, but I think he has.
Oh, no, I guess he hasn't won. Because if he does win, he will.
So when you just say something, I just agree with it.
I know.
Because I don't really know.
I remember him. I mean, he hit 40 in the second. He hit 91.
Well, the more I think about it, he hasn't been in the league all that long.
No, but
Pete Alonso has won twice and Juan Soto last year.
So. I'm looking at this. In 2019, he set the all-time record for most home runs in a derby when he hit 91. 40 in the second round alone, but he didn't win it. I think he lost to Alonso.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah, he did. He lost to Alonso.
And they didn't have a 2020 home run derby.
No, they didn't have they didn't even have an All-Star game.
They didn't have an All-Star game. They barely were getting the season together. So, but Julio Rodriguez is the fourth betting favorite to win this thing.
Yeah, he's ranked three in this list.
I got you. Okay.
And because it's hometown.
Yeah,
I mean, crowd's going to be cheering for him a lot harder than normal, so.
Good point. All right, Brett Boone is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to him about not only his career, Major League Baseball.
I believe he's a home run derby champ.
And he might be.
I think
he is. I'll take your word for it. You seem to be a home run derby expert.
Well, no, I'm reading it.
Oh, okay. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call.
To Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Brett Boone joins us in 15 minutes. We will talk to him about baseball as he gets ready for the All-Star break and the All-Star festivities, which start tonight in Seattle. The British Open is going to be not this week, but next week. And so the golf is in its limbo of like, hey, we're playing some events. Some of the big names, like Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa and Jordan Spieth, they were at Wimbledon. But the tour was at the John Deere Classic. And all right, it's a cool little event. And Sepp Straka won the event. And he finished at 21 under par. Okay. But Straka shot a final round 62. A final round 62. And get this, Ron. He had a double bogey on the 18th hole. He could have shot 60 with a par. He could have shot 59 with a birdie.
That hurts.
Yeah, he shot 7 under on the front nine. He was 7 under with an eagle on the front nine and had a chance to make some history. Now, one of the greatest rounds of golf I ever saw play, it was on TV, was David Duval back in the late 90s. Duval shot a final round 59 to win, at the time, the Bob Hope, or it was something in Palm Springs. It used to be the Bob Hope, the event at Palm Springs. Because shooting a 59, guys won't do it in a casual round of golf. But on the final round, when you got golfers making moves up the leaderboard, it's really hard to do. Obviously, hardly anybody's ever shot a 59 in competitive play before. And this guy had a chance to do it. And he hit the water on 18. That's got to be, still, you win the tournament, you win $1.3 million, but
yeah,
double bogey. You're like, oh my God, I got one of the best rounds going in the history of golf. And they make a double bogey on the final hole. I did, like I told you yesterday, we had a rainy day here in Tennessee where I live. It was raining, crappy day. I just was going through, click, 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 click. I did watch a little bit of the U.S. Women's Open at Pebble Beach because I just like Pebble Beach. And I thought it was kind of cool that they were playing there. I watched a little bit of that. But I did watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, man. I haven't decided whether I'm going to go see the Indiana Jones movie or not. I've been a big indie fan because it was my childhood.
I've heard mixed reviews. I've heard like some people saying it's terrible, and I've heard others saying, you know what, it's okay.
I mean,
you'll have fun
anyway.
Watching it.
Yeah, one critic who I trust did a video on it, and he said it was a waste of my time. And usually, critics don't say that. They don't. They'll go, it's not a good movie, but when he goes, no, this was a waste of my time. I'm like, oh God, that's harsh. That's harsh.
Yeah.
But I watched Raiders of the Lost Ark yesterday, threw it on. I was like, yeah, well, I need a movie because I got some writing to do and stuff. And I was like, click. I watched it. Yeah, it was fun. It still holds up, man. I hadn't seen it in a while. I hadn't seen the full movie in a while. But it was still fun. Still good. It's kind of funny, too, at points. It's not just funny when he shoots the guy who's got the sword.
No, no. You know who's funny is Solid.
He's hilarious.
He's hilarious in the movie.
Yeah. So, but you know what I liked about it was, you know, it was smart. It was a smart movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was well written for 1982. It was really well written. Like the Nazis have a copy of the thing, but it's not quite right. They're digging in one place. He knows they're digging in something else. He goes to that thing. Bullock keeps taking things away from him, that they make that very clear in the very opening part of the movie when he gets the idol and Bullock is there to take the idol. He says to him over and over again, everything you get, I take. And he finds the ark, and then sure enough, they take it.
Or they kidnap Marion. That's another scene I always like, when the ship captain's like, you got to find Indy.
Yeah.
Found him, sir. Where?
That's right.
There.
There. Yeah. I love it when he
climbing
sees
on a submarine. I always wondered, did he get inside the submarine? What happened?
What happened? They don't even explain that. I mean, how do you survive it?
Did the submarine just stay above water the entire way? And he just kind of hid?
Caught his breath every now and then?
how did that work out?
I like the scene, too, where Marion is captured and he sees her and he's so excited to see her, but he realizes, I can't free you yet. You have to stay here. She's screaming at him. Like, they just reunited.
Yeah.
She's already yelling at him. Oh, goodness.
And he ties her back up. Like, here, sorry.
Yeah. And, you know, so I'm trying to get myself psyched up a little bit to go say, do I want to go see this?
No, I'm the same way. And I think I almost feel like it's starting to slip away from me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, you know, because I'm going to be heading on vacation soon. And I'm gonna miss that opportunity. It's like, you know, there's too much going on. I can't fit that in as well.
Right, exactly. It's you reach a point where you're like, I don't know, do I wanna go to this, or I just wanna wait? Because they're making it so easy now to see these movies pretty quickly once their theatrical run are done.
I feel like it's gonna be on Disney Plus. I know it's gonna be on Disney Plus because it's a Disney, you know, owned film or owned franchise. But I feel like, you know, if I wait two more weeks, it'll be on Disney Plus.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. Look, don't get me wrong.
And I might have to pay that surcharge. It's an additional price, but I'll pay it.
And
it's
I like going, the theater. I don't mind going to the theater. I like the theater experience, but most of the time I'm like, I'll just stay home. I can watch it at home. You know, my stuff is better. It's like, you know what it is? It's movie experience has become what people we're starting to figure out about sports, right? Which was, you know what? You don't necessarily need to feel bad that you don't have a ticket to the big playoff game.
Right.
Like, it's now, you can almost have a better experience at home with your HD TV and your surround sound. You get more graphics. You get more instant replay. You don't have to fight the crowd. You don't have to fight parking. You don't have to spend the money on the tickets and the concessions and all of that. It's not a better experience stadium unless you just want to be part of the party.
We talked about this earlier, right? I went to Super Bowl 27, right? And it was a fantastic time. You know, something I can say, you know, I've been to.
Sure.
It's so much better on TV.
Yeah, it is.
I'm so sorry. It is.
It's gotten a lot better. Now, granted, don't get me, you know, like back in the day when you had like the 18-inch color television,
right,
and,
yeah,
and you know, and you got the antenna on the roof. Yeah, sure, being at the game would probably, but it's so more interactive, and so I think the theaters are starting to realize that. Look, yeah, I love the surround sound. You're giving me something I can't really get at home. I can have surround sound at home, but it's not like this. It's not this, whatever they call it.
You can feel it. I mean, like
the energy coming through.
You know, one of the thoughts that went through my mind, it's not just the game. It's the atmosphere around it. And, you know, I remember when you and I went to the Final Four.
Yeah.
The atmosphere, the music that you were hearing, the crowd cheering when, the San Diego State guy hit the buzzer.
Yeah, Butler. Hit the bucket.
Yeah. When he hit the buzzer. I mean, just that energy that was in that arena at that moment was insane.
It's funny. That is true. I mean, despite the fact that, again, your home experience gives you more, there's a lot of check marks the home experience gives you, but the big check mark is people never brag about how they watched a game at home. but right. they will tell you they were there when
we
something
were
happened. Right?
You know, like, and because I remember you and I just like going, I was like, I can't believe what we just watched.
Right.
Can't believe, you know, we always wanted to see a buzzer beater, always wanted to see a Final Four buzzer beater, and we got it.
We got it. We got it. Yeah, exactly. What was it? A couple of guys on the Buffalo Bills back in the day when they talked about how their comeback, Steve Trasker used to talk about this all the time. Steve Trasker made a joke that he met 4 million people who claimed to be at that game when they overcame the Houston Oilers and won that playoff game.
Without a doubt.
Because he's like, everybody I ever meet tells me they're at the game. And you're like, the stadium only holds about 70,000 people. But he's already said he's already met 4 million, like as a joke, because people want to either lie or claim they were at an event. But nobody ever says, I was in my living room eating my homemade marshmallow dip. Right, like people love to say they were there,
yeah,
and the stadium was going to collapse, and they were hugging strangers, and they were in the concourse, and they were there. There is something about a live sporting event that brings you that is different. I think one sport that benefits completely from being in the arena rather than watching it on TV is hockey. You could take a non-hockey fan, and you go, look, just be. I'll pay you to be with me for the next 2.5 hours, we go to this hockey game. And when the home team scores and the immediate eruption, and I think that's one of the reasons why people like going to MLS games, right? People, I think because the game isn't 10-9 or 21-9 and they just happen all the time, the rarity of the moment allows for an explosion of joy
yep.
that you cherish every time you get an opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
Because you know it's rare, so you're not... You know, you can cheer every point in a football game, but you might get 7 scoring drives in a game. You might get 6, you might get 3, you might get 0. But in soccer and hockey, you might get 2 goals in the game, and you better enjoy those while your team is celebrating. And people love being part of that atmosphere. It is different. But going back to the theater, I think that if you get to a point where the public goes, I can see this in 3 weeks, then they go, I don't really want to spend $15 for this and this for candy and this for this. Because it used to be a while before you would see a movie after it left its theater. It's like, yeah, and guess what? The DVD goes on sale in February and it's like July.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you knew. Like, well, I'm never going to see it.
You already knew a big summer blockbuster. That DVD wasn't coming out to just before Christmas.
Absolutely. That wasn't going to come out for a while. Like, you were going to wait a long time where you had to buy it at the store. You're right. You're right. All right, Brett Boone's going to join us next. We'll talk baseball, his career, All-Star Game, maybe a strategical element for the Home Run Derby. We'll get all that coming up next. It's Wake Up Call.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Brett Boone joining us on our Progressive guest line. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Also, for a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. He is a 3-time All-Star, 4-time Gold Glove Award winner, former Major League Baseball player Brett Boone joining us on Sports Map Radio. How are you, Brett?
Good. How you doing?
As I mentioned earlier. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me good?
Great.
Can you hear me good?
Absolutely. All right, great.
All right.
As I mentioned earlier, you're a 3-time All-Star, the All-Star game coming up on Tuesday. Is the game still a special point for Major League Baseball players? Is it still a special thing?
I'll tell you what. I got to go to 3, and as a player, I never understood. You know, I understand when it's your 5th, your 6th, your 7th All-Star game. It's not that, it doesn't have that luster of the first one. But for me as a player, growing up in the game, whenever I made an All-Star team, it was an honor, and I treasured it. Now, whether I was starting, whether I was, it didn't matter. The fact that I was there, I kind of had the foresight at a young age that I know this window, I know this career is short-lived. We have a short window, so enjoy everything you get, because it's going to be over before you know it. So I really look forward to every one. It was a big deal for me. Now, it wasn't the biggest deal to win the game. But as players, we want to go out there. We want to put on a good show. If we win, that's great. the end of the day, it's an exhibition. It doesn't matter. It doesn't go on the back of your bubblegum card. You know, you're not going to make any more money in arbitration by having a good All-Star game. But you want to put on a good show. You want to win. But as long as you get through the All-Star game, you don't get hurt, you get back to your team and do your job in the second half. Man, I looked at it as an honor and an awesome thing. And I hope, and I do think most players do appreciate everything that comes with being an All-Star.
You mentioned how you grew up and being part of one of baseball's first families with grandfather, father, brother, you all making the majors. How did that affect, how do you think that differentiated you from other players in terms of being around the game constantly at that level?
Well, I think people assume that it's easier for you because you know what it's like. And I laughed at that because I remember my rookie year and they said, well, this isn't a big deal for you because you grew up in the clubhouse. Yeah, I grew up in the clubhouse. It's true. But I grew up in the clubhouse as a little kid, probably being a pain in the ass, plugging all the players, you know, and with not a care in the world. All of a sudden you're in that big league clubhouse with a uniform on and now it's your job. It's a different animal. So I'm just like every other rookie trying to make his way. That being said, did growing up the way I did help me? I don't know how much it helped me as far as my big league career, but I know it didn't hurt me.
Sure. As you saw baseball change, and now with not only new rules, but the NL and AL line has now been completely blurred, almost non-existent. Does that bother you? Are you one that, even though it's been part of your life, your whole life, you embrace the change that baseball's pursuing?
Yeah, I've learned to have a real open mind. You know, I think the game is changing. Our world is changing. So 2023, it's not 1975 anymore.
Yeah.
You know, those are some of my fondest memories. You know, growing up watching, you know, my dad with the Phillies and those great Pirate teams and the Big Red Machine and the Dodgers. That's what I remember as a child. But things have changed, and I went through my career. Of course, I loved my generation. This new generation, it's much different. It took a little bit of time for me to kind of embrace. But I've had an open mind, and now being on this side, doing a podcast, being in the media side, I have an open mind to everything. I went into this offseason. I remember when they announced the pitch clock, and the purist in me took a step back and said, wait a minute, pitch clock, that's what every other sport has. You know, we don't have a clock. We kind of pride ourselves in baseball not having a clock. But I said I was going to have an open mind. What I'm watching, what I'm seeing so far, what I'm hearing on the ground from players, coaches, managers, is they all love it. I think the fans love it. It's a crisper game. I didn't think I liked the disengagement rule from the pitcher standpoint. I figured that's too big of an advantage for an elite base dealer. But the focus all along was to get back to encouraging people to steal bases, encouraging people to put the ball in play. I think it's working. So for this purist right now, I'm thinking this has been a home run as far as implementing these rules. So that's going to encourage me in the future when changes are made to have an open mind, because I think this has been great for the game, and I never thought it would be.
The All-Star game in Seattle, you started with Seattle. You went back to the Mariners at some point in your career. How do you feel about Mariner fans, the city of Seattle? How does that connect with Brett Boone?
Well, this is home for me. You know, I played in Cincinnati for a while. I had a couple stops in Atlanta and San Diego, but Seattle's my home. And everybody, I think, remembers me as a Seattle Mariner. My best years were here. In 2001, what an unbelievable season! Still to this day, you know, I'm getting to reminisce, getting to see some old teammates from that team up here. And we still have that same conversation. We look at each other and say, how did we not finish the deal after winning 116? But that's baseball. And that happens. You know, you look a year ago with the Dodgers, they won 111 games, clearly the best team in baseball, and they got bounced from the playoffs by an 89-win Padre team. So I think that's what makes this game the greatest game. But I'll always be a Seattle guy. I come up to the city. The city embraces me. They were unbelievable to me when I was here. And I'm seeing that in my first days, just walking, first couple days here at the All-Star game, walking around town doing these events. They still remember now. I'm getting a little bit of, hey, my mom loves you, Brett, and my grandma loves you. So it's making me feel a little bit older to this younger generation. But there's a lot of buzz up here. We're having a lot of fun. We did the celebrity softball game.
Oh, congratulations, by the way. I heard you were MVP of the softball game over the weekend.
Thank you. think I wasn't. You gotta give me that plug. But I remember walking onto the field, and they said, "What do you think?" I said, "This sounded like a great idea 2 months ago, but now I don't know. The city expects a lot out of me. A lot of fun. I was impressed with the celebrities because you know the athletes are going to kind of bring it, and I was worried about these singer songwriters. How are they going to be? I'll tell you what, these guys could hit, and it was entertaining. We ended up winning the game 21-19. But had a lot of fun, and it was good. It was a long day, but it was fun.
You also played with Cincinnati, and Ellie De La Cruz is sort of lighting it up. There is some young talent in this game. How do you assess its health? I mean, how do you look at it and say, it's in good hands?
Unbelievable. You know, you're seeing the Shohei Ohtani, and I can't say enough about it. I'm still, every day I wake up, and I can't believe what I'm watching, dominating on both sides of the ball, you know, from a pitcher standpoint, hitting standpoint. My whole career, I said, this can never happen. You can't do it at this level. Yeah, maybe at a college level. But what Shohei Ohtani is doing, it's unbelievable to me. So that's a great storyline in the game. Robert Acuna coming back, you know, on pace to be a 40-40 guy. Ellie De La Cruz, you know, stealing 3 bases the other day, stealing home. He's got that rock star mentality. He's kind of like a Fernando Tatis Jr., going to be the face of baseball for a long time. So I think this new generation, it's a different game. It takes us older players a little bit of time to adjust to it. But I think the fans like it. This generation of fans especially like it. And I think it's good for the game. And it's really cool seeing that storyline. It's great seeing Cincinnati back on top. We haven't heard from them for a long time. The Baltimore Orioles come to mind for me as another great storyline this year. When's the last time we were talking about the Orioles this late into the season? The Texas Rangers have had a breath of fresh air breathed into them with Bruce Bochy coming back. So I think there's a lot of great storylines at the All-Star game. It's going to be a great second half.
What was it like to have a brother in the sport? We've been talking about sometimes with family members. You obviously come from a big family member. When you have a brother that's also in the league, what was that like at Christmas time and Thanksgiving?
Well, I look back on those times, and I think we took it for granted as kids.
Yeah.
I remember fondly sitting around the table with my dad, my grandpa especially. You know, he's not here anymore, so I can't hear that Ted Williams story for the 20th time. Now, fast forward 20 years, I wish I could hear that story one more time.
So sure.
Definitely special growing up in a family like that. I'm nothing but proud of what my family's accomplished in the game of baseball. Aaron and myself were teammates for a year in Cincinnati in 1998. At the time, this was our job, and we weren't thinking about anything. He was my third baseman. I was the second baseman. All I cared about is him giving me a good feed on a double play ball, and I got to go to lunch with him on an off day. But now looking back, I remember, you know, that was pretty special. Not too many people get to play with their brother at the big league level. But when you're in the moment, when you're a young player in the middle of your career, you don't think about stuff like that. It's only afterwards that you really look back and think how special it was to be able to do what we did.
Brett Boone, again, joining us on Sports Map Radio. Enjoy the festivities this this week, my friend. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you.
Again, 3-time All-Star Brett Boone played with the Mariners twice, with the Reds, the Braves, the Padres, but calls Seattle home as the All-Star game is home this week. That's where it is for Major League Baseball. We will come back and wrap up the hour as we continue on Sports Map Radio.
Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
Our thanks to Brett Boone joining us last hour. That was fun. Imagine being a member of baseball royalty. What that must have been like. I was surprised he didn't say, oh, no, it was great. I was less starstruck as I got into the majors because I hung around with, like, Pete Rose when I was a kid. When there's others, you know, they're still young. They come to the minors, they get to the major league ballpark, and they go, ooh, let me soak this all in. Oh, my God, look who's next to me in the locker room. Oh, my goodness. I mean, but he was, you know, his grandfather was in the majors. His father was in the majors. His brother's in the majors. He's in the majors. He comes from an era where his entire life is nothing but the sport of baseball. And I think he was the right guy to talk about the changes, because it's not just a guy that's like, you know what, I was a good ball player. I made it in the majors. I had a good career, whatnot. He was a guy that lived and breathed the sport. His entire family was part of the sport. They were really intertwined with it. So when you talk about a pitch clock to Brett Boone, he's like, well, you know, I come from, I lived and breathed this thing. And next thing you know, the sport is changing in a way. It's got to be a little difficult for this. The pitch clock, you can get around. You can be an old timer and not want to have a time limit put on your game because it's part of the joy. You can see some other things and say, gee, I don't really like it. I wonder how old timers really have started to see the complete nullification of the leagues. That the leagues are now, they're only separate in name only. When it was so unique for this sport to have two different leagues playing baseball within their own rules, two different rules, and they never met unless it was the All-Star Game or the World Series.
Or every once in a while it was an exhibition.
Right.
Because I remember my dad was a Mets fan in 80, you know, during the late 80s. And so I received a VHS of the 86 Mets.
Okay.
Yeah, their season in review, and they had an exhibition against the Red Sox.
Right, right.
And little did everyone know that was a precursor of things to come.
Yeah, of course. And so you talk to these guys where they said, look, because if you grew up at a certain time around baseball, and you don't even have to be that old to remember it. I mean, I'm not exactly over the hill.
No, yeah, we're not old.
You know, we're not old. I can remember people being National League fans and American League fans. I've heard people say, I can't embrace American League Baseball. They would say that.
And that argument.
That was a common thing to say.
You know, like AFC or the American League's kind of cheating.
Yeah.
What do you mean you don't have your pitcher hit?
Exactly.
That's cheating.
And like, oh, the strategical element. There were like real debates about this, and no other sport had it, right? The NBA played the same NBA, whether you're in the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference. It didn't alter the rule, and you would play each other during the season. NFL, same thing. But baseball was the only one where if you lived in Boston, Pete Rose wasn't coming to your city in a Phillies uniform or a Reds uniform. Unless it was the World Series. If you grew up in Cincinnati, you were not going to see Dave Winfield in a Yankees uniform come to your town. That was it. You were not seeing it. That's the way it was. And that's what you had to embrace. And now you're talking about a sport that has completely blurred it, completely eliminated. And they did it slowly over time. They did it with interleague play. And then they sort of said, well, it's going to be like special weekends where we'll have like rivalries, like inner city rivalries. So the Yankees will play the Mets and the Dodgers will play the Angels and the Cubs will play the White Sox. And then they started going, then we'll add a little bit more to it. And then we'll add a little bit more. But now it's anytime, anywhere, it does not matter. The Astros can go on the road and play the Dodgers and then zip over to play the Angels and then zip down to play San Diego. It doesn't matter. It is not for special times during the year. And now everyone's got the DH, and now those lines are completely blurred. That's kind of what I would love to know about people who grew up in the sport and knew that there was a style in one league and there was a different style in the other league. And now maybe they think it's good. Maybe they've wanted that this whole time. Maybe they thought it was unfair for a kid in Boston not to see a great player like Mike Schmidt, right? Never get to see him in person. You know, kids collected baseball cards. They knew who were in the other league. You know, I was a little kid during the All-Star game. I got my little cards out. I was putting them down. I was like Steve Garvey and Fernando Valenzuela and all these teams in the National League. And these were players I never could see in person, ever. Because my family, we only went to Fenway Park. And that is it. So in that regard, you know, it's very curious to see how that transition has changed. But again, you've got to do it subtly. You've got to do it in a way that goes... You don't do it all at once. You do it over time, and then you get a new generation interested in the way it's going.
Yeah, it is
now.
Amazing with the pitch clock that, you know, I didn't know how well that was going to work either.
Oh, sure.
I think we all were. It was like, that's probably the most radical change we've had in a long time.
It has, and it's like we have said every time we talk to whether it's Gardner or Nightingale or anybody who's talking baseball, they're never getting rid of it. They'll tweak it. But they're never getting rid of it. It's over. So if you hate it, you hate it for the rest of your life.
And then even the purists like Brett Boone have come around.
They've come around. Our friends at Baseball Barbecue have done it again. Makers of patented bat-handled barbecue tools and cutting boards, Baseball Barbecue can customize their products or engrave them with the logos of your favorite major league teams. For the upcoming Baseball Midsummer Classic, Baseball Barbecue will be making special commemorative home plate cutting boards engraved with the All-Star Game logo and then the names and facsimile signatures of every player. The products are built to last. They're fun. They're functional. I have them in my home. I love them. I used it on Sunday with grilling some steaks. A must-have for baseball fans and serious grillers alike. Visit baseballbarbecue.com. That's baseballbbq.com. Use the code SPORTSMAP20 for 20% of your order today. All right, so
might be using mine tonight as the Home Run Derby's kicking off.
I grilled some steaks in the drizzle last night. In the drizzle. Because my in-laws were in town, and my wife wanted to grill some steaks. She's like, "We gotta get steak." I said, "You know what? Fear not. I will start the grill. It's just sprinkling. Maybe a storm is coming, and I will rock and roll."
And you got out before it really came.
I did.
There you go.
And then I got it in about a half an hour later. It started coming down in buckets. So I timed it just right. But yeah, I was out there. Go out there, get a little drizzle, open it up, flip the steaks a little bit, come back. Yeah, good stuff.
And the tools are great.
Tools are great. They're fun.
I love them.
Really fun.
I love
them. Cutting boards are fun, too. Yeah.
Show them off.
It is a bragging right thing.
It is
cool when people come over and you go, "Look what I got."
What is that? It's a baseball handle.
Exactly. It's a baseball bat handle.
It's a baseball bat.
It's fantastic. All right. Who wins the home run derby tonight?
Ooh. I don't know.
I'm going with Julio Rodriguez. Why not go with the hometown person? It worked for Bryce Harper a few years ago. Why would it work now?
I mean, and Todd Frazier, when they first switched the format to this type of format, Todd Frazier won the first one.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah. I remember that. This year?
Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
I mean, there's a part of me that needs to go Mookie Betts. You know, I just
feel
that way. But I do like the J-Rod connection.
Yeah, I do too. I think of the hometown crown.
But
ecstatic.
But again, yeah, I mean, you know, Pete Alonso lives for this.
You know, that is true. I can't discount a guy's love for an event. Love something like Pete Alonso loves the home run derby, man.
You know, because let's face it, what does he have to look forward to?
No, nothing. His team stinks.
Yeah, they don't have any pitchers. I mean, their pitcher is a mash unit. I don't know who else is on the team that's good.
Win the trophy and then give it to Steve Cohen. Be like, "Here you go.
Here you go.
We can't give you the other thing you want.
Put this in your case.
Yeah, put this in the trophy case for the team. Have a banner hung up at Citi Field next year.
If Pete Alonso wins and he gets $1 million, does he give that to Steve Cohen and go, "Hey, this is for Bobby?
We are so sorry." Here you go.
I know you got to pay him next year.
The Bobby Bonilla payday.
You know what? You know what? Okay, we talk about Bobby Bonilla Day every single year.
Yeah, right? All the time.
Because it's fun.
I was on vacation when it happened. I was missing our yearly conversation of Bobby Bonilla Day.
Every single year, I'm starting to see this more and more. It's like, "Oh, you think Bobby Bonilla is bad? Wait till this one kicks in and this one." And this one. I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, does everyone now has a contract that pays them well beyond their years of playing?
But you know why the Bobby Bonilla deal I shouldn't say this because it was people made fun of it even before, but when the Bernie Madoff scandals went down, that's why the Mets did it in the first place, is because they were in the Wilpons were invested in Bernie Madoff, and they were like, "We'll pay this guy with the chump change we're making in returns on our investments."
And
with this guy.
What it was like, you know, they could have paid him $6 million then and there, but end up paying him what, $25 million?
That's right.
In the long run.
And they were basically whatever returns we were getting from the Madoff funds, we were just going to hand off to him, and we didn't care.
And that's what makes it humorous. These other guys, like I saw one with Mookie Betts, where he's going to be getting like $15 million for, you know, until like 2050 or something like that.
Right.
And it's like, well, okay, that's the contract that he signed, and the Dodgers say, "Hey, you know, so we can make some adjustments and bring some guys in now. Do you mind us stretching it out?" And I mean, what person's ever going to say, "No, you want to pay me $15 million until 2050? Sure.
Exactly.
But it's... The scenario around Bobby Bonilla, which makes it humorous.
A lot of players are now talking to their agents about, "Hey, listen, in my next deal, can I get something like this?"
Yeah.
Where it's very similar to structured up, so I get it over the long term, into my retirement years.
That's what we look, because Bonilla should only have gotten 6, but he's getting 25.
Right? No doubt. Fantastic, every July 1st. All right, Lombardi Line's next on Sports Map Radio. We will see you tomorrow. Enjoy the Home Run Derby tonight, Major League Baseball in Seattle. We'll continue NFL previews tomorrow as well.